Welcome to episode 171 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on March 27, 2020. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss the topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In this episode, Ben and Scott have Sarah Lean back on the show once more to share some of her tips about working from home, as well as how she has adapted to remote presentations.
Good morning, lovely people.
Hello, how you doing?
You're apparently not talking to me.
I am doing. Let me tell you, don't get the crud.
Are you over it yet, Scott?
I am not. I got to go to the urgent care or something today.
Really?
If they'll let me. My doctor has refused to let me into the office, but I've got like a wicked cough that I just can't get rid of. And it's been 2 weeks now. And it is no fun.
Yeah, not good.
How are you, Sarah?
Yeah, I'm okay. I am living in this crazy time that we've got. So
getting on with social distancing and quarantining and all the things.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. So in the UK, we've kind of got locked down at the moment. We're allowed out for groceries and stuff like that and one walk a day. So it's very eerie and weird not hearing any cars or planes or whatever going on outside and trying to stay away from people.
Yeah, and you all just started your lockdown recently, right? Yeah. Like the actual mandated one?
Yeah, we were like 5 days in. I think, to be honest, for me, they did it a bit too late because they should have done it a few weeks ago, especially when we got really good weather in Scotland. Everybody decided just to go out and, you know, go for a walk suddenly and go to these places that they've never been to for like years. And we also had Mother's Day as well here in the UK at the weekend. So a lot of families got together and I'm just like, that's crazy.
So all the crowd surged and all that stuff.
Yep. We even had people who had never climbed a mountain decide that they were going to socially distance themselves by climbing a mountain and then got stuck and had to get mountain rescue in to help them. So not great.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Some guy climbed a mountain in just like tennis shoes and shorts and t-shirt and then wondered why he got cold and got stuck and lost because he didn't have a compass or any of the usual stuff you're supposed to have when you climb a mountain. So,
oh man.
Yep. So yeah, natural selection, I suppose.
Yeah.
So
I have a feeling the US is going to wish they locked everything down more sooner.
You guys are so spread out and have different kind of rules and governors and senators and all this kind of crazy stuff to negotiate, because I know Seattle was kind of locked down, hasn't they?
Yes.
Obviously people.
Yeah, so some places have been locked down further than others and some just have their head in the sand. Like here where we are in Florida, our governor is actually going back and questioning whether he even should have closed the schools.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if he reopens them, it's just going to turn into this kind of vicious thing, mm-hmm. right? We are now the epicenter of COVID-19 in the world. So
yeah.
Go USA.
Yeah, because you guys in Florida had spring break craziness, didn't you?
Yep, there was tons of that. People on the beaches. I saw a picture from the Hamptons, New York. So mm-hmm. the Hamptons is kind of right outside New York yep. City. But people go there because there's mountains and beaches and all those kinds of things. Still packed, still full. And it's like, hold on, you are in the epicenter of yep. the crud. Like, why would you people do that to yourselves? But yeah, it's going to get worse before it gets better here, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Not good.
Yeah, I can't find the graph. Was it this graph I was looking at? There's a whole bunch of people that are pulling all the data together. And I saw one graph in the spike in the US in how quickly it's growing here far exceeds mm-hmm. Italy and China. Because if you even China, they finally hit 81,000, but that was after they had kind of rounded the peak and it was just kind of gradually trickled up to 81,000, we blew right through 81,000.
Yeah, we went from like 10,000 to 80,000 in a week.
It's just crazy. It's crazy when you think. Yeah. We're all first world countries as well, when you think of it like that, and we're struggling with this. That's the kicker, isn't it?
Yeah, my best hope is that the US comes out of this with some form of like socialized healthcare, because it turns out that tying healthcare to employment might have been one of the dumber things we ever decided to do as a country, yeah. right? Because if you lose your job, you lose your healthcare, and you're like really SOL in times like this.
Yeah, it's not good.
But we'll see where it all ends.
Yes.
On to happier things. Yep.
Well, I don't know. Is the cloud really happier right now? Is the cloud going to survive COVID?
You know, we can talk about it. I did an AZ 900 class yesterday, mm-hmm. the one day AZ 900 mock. Okay. And when you do a one day AZ 900, it's super demo heavy.
I'm sorry.
It is, because normally in the 2 day, but in the 2 day, we would do labs. And, you know, rather than somebody watching me create a virtual machine, they would actually get to log into the portal, play with dashboards, create their own VM, things like that. So, for 8 hours yesterday, pretty much every single thing I tried to create blew up and failed at some point.
Oh, wow.
Like, oh, you want to create a DSV3? Yeah, sorry, can't do that. Okay, well, what if I try a V2? Yeah, sorry, I'm out of those too. Okay, what if I try and do the ones that don't even allow for SSD disk? Oh, yeah, sorry, we're out of those. All right, let me try another region. Oh, no, sorry. That's not going to work over here either. It got like really ridiculous. You know, like a couple months ago, back before all this started, I don't know if you remember when East US had the big crunch for compute capacity, mm-hmm. and they shut down, like leading up to Ignite is kind of when it was. Yeah. And they shut down the ability for customers to create new SQL databases. Web apps were limited to certain sizes, mm-hmm. just because they were out of the raw underlying hosts on the back end. And this feels exactly like the same thing. Yep. It's like everybody's getting crushed. I've seen quite a few folks from Europe especially seems to be really hard hit with everybody coming online, because mm-hmm. there's lots of providers that do things like, you know, they try and optimize for cost by shutting their VMs down at night. Yep. And they come in the morning and they can't turn their VMs on, to the point where like some of them are going around. I've seen on Reddit some threads where people are kind of getting together and asking their friends, they're like, hey, you host in UK South. I host in UK South too. What if I try and shut mine off and you try and turn yours on, or, you know, whatever it works. It's like, yeah. Folks, it's not the way it works, but yeah, it's going to be tight for a while now. Because even if you could order the compute, it's not like, you know, there's going to be thousands and thousands of people ready to walk into a data center and throw it down on a pad or get it in a rack or, you know, depending on where it needs to be.
Yeah, we have massive scale in Azure, obviously, but we can't just scale up quickly that way, if that makes sense. Like,
you can't scale 90% in a week or something like that?
Yeah. it's a bit crazy. It's a bit crazy, but yeah, I'm sure it will lead to good things and bad things in the future in terms of what people do for IT.
Yeah, it's hopefully going to lead to some changes.
Yeah.
We'll see where it all falls out. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting to watch not just Azure, but some of the other services potentially buckle and or have to change along the way. Yep. You know, like every day it seems like there's a new changes coming from, you know, Office 365 or M365 tenancies. Yep. So we're degrading the quality of video in stream. We're checking for presence less. Mm. We're not checking as often for when somebody's typing to do the little chat bubble thing, you know, when the person you're in a chat with in Teams is typing back to you.
Yeah. The one thing I take out from that is we're actually communicating that kind of stuff. We're not doing it in the back and not telling anybody, so that there's more complaints, if that makes sense. So I'm trying to, you know, our communication is really heavy. And to be honest, between you and I, who's going to notice a wee bit of like quality in terms of stream? Because I think they moved it down from like full 1080p down to 720. Like, how many people are actually going to notice that? Like, without being flippant about it, but it's not.
Yeah, I don't think some of those. I know that my wife's a teacher and she's been at home doing the whole thing. And she noticed, and she actually came and asked me if she was doing something wrong, mm-hmm. like the second day going into things, because OneNote had stopped working in Teams. Mm-hmm. It had gone read-only for them. And they had just spent the entire prior day teaching all the kids, you know, how to go into their OneNotes and do things in the classroom and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, well, I got a notice in my mailbox that said for non-EDU tenants that was happening, mm-hmm. but it shouldn't be happening for your tenant. But still, clearly it was, right? There's still some kind of fuzzy lines in there. Yep. So I think some of them do hit with kind of more material impacts, and not anything that's super detrimental. It's just stuff that throws people off as it's kind of constantly adjusting. And especially I think with schools like here in the US, like they are really not used to remote learning in any way, shape or form.
Yep.
And they're kind of just pivoting every single day, if not by the hour, to figure out where things are landing.
Yeah, true. Well,
As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro.
So what else have you been up to, Sarah?
I've been creating content. So I've been pivoting quite a bit. So I was working on a video series that was supposed to hopefully go live at like next month. But with all the changes that have happened and with my headspace not being quite 100% focused on, you know, like everything, like work, that's kind of dropped by the wayside. But I've been creating more blogs around some of the things that I've been doing. So a lot of my friends are using Teams now, but that's the first time they've ever used it remotely. So they're using it in a completely different way. So some of the conversations that I've had with them and helping them, I've turned into blog posts to try and help others, because I'm sure if one person's asking the question, there's probably about 10 others asking the question as well. So I've been just trying to pivot what I've been creating to try and address what's going on and try and focus myself as well, do the things that are quick wins just to keep myself positive, keep myself active, and be able to say that I've achieved something at the end of the week.
Yeah. So what are some of those posts about? Because normally you were doing a lot with, it looks like for a little bit there, ramping into kind of migrations.
Some of the questions I've been asked is like, everybody's super aware that this situation is bad for people's mental health, right? Some people are stuck at home on their own because they live on their own. So it's not great. So lots of people are doing check-in messages, you know, pinging people on Teams or whatever to check them in, having virtual coffee breaks, emailing them, which is all great. But it kind of stops productivity as well, right? Because you're constantly being pinged, you're constantly being dragged away from the task in hand. So I created a blog post about Focus Assist, which is in Windows 10, which can kind of, like, I've got it turned on now so that I don't get interrupted while we're talking, so that, you know, it just calms those storm of notifications for people. And a lot of people didn't know about that because they're not used to being pinged constantly on Teams. You know, people usually come up to their desk and bug them instead. So it's just a different way of working. So things like also presenting in Teams. So a lot of people have been finding that if you do full screen PowerPoint on Teams, when you have like one screen, you lose the ability to see Teams. So you miss the chat, you miss people's like video interaction if they've got their videos turned on. So I wrote a blog post that seems to be getting really great uptake on how you can actually present PowerPoint natively in Teams and still see the chat and still see everybody else's video stream. So it's things like that, just wee productivity tips that I probably do every day without thinking about now because I'm used to working from home, but others aren't aware of. That's two of the ones I've wrote this week as well.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, the presenting in Teams one is interesting. So every piece of software is, you know, a little bit different. So Zoom is different than Teams, is different than all the go-to trainings and go-to webinars and things like that. But yeah, I've seen a couple of people talk about the, you know, you don't actually have to present your screen. You can just present the PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. And that has some other advantages too, right? Because sometimes you want people to maybe be able to flip back and forth through slides and be independent of where you are. Yep. So it just gives it a little bit of a different flavor.
Someone did point out though that you lose the ability to kind of do captioning or translation. Within Teams at the moment, you do have live captions, but it only translates it into English. So someone was saying they were presenting to a European audience, I can't remember where that was, but they had to then use PowerPoint to do the translation because that's not a feature in Teams. So there are different ways to do it and it depends on your use case, right? Like how to do these things. But again, it's about finding the way that works for you, your organization, and the kind of opportunity that you're working on at that time. So
yeah, everybody's allowed to be a little bit different right now. Yeah.
It's interesting because that always brings up a whole other set of challenges. Because I was talking to somebody the other day about just different ways to do things in Teams. They're like, now my head is spinning because it feels like there's so many different ways to do stuff? How do you know which way is the right way, which way works in different scenarios? And I think that's been some of it too that I've seen lately, is just helping people figure out and learn the different options and what some of those advantages and disadvantages are of various options, in terms of even things like, people have started asking me, when do I create a channel versus when do I create a team? Mm-hmm. And like you said, the PowerPoints, do I need captioning? Different ways to do it there, different ways when teams get in and not. It's just a lot of education right now around teams.
Yep.
Yeah.
The functionality is great, right? But some of it's still not there. But it's all about helping people and just showing them the best ways to do some of the stuff they're trying to do.
Yeah. So have you noticed people doing video a lot more now in Teams, or a lot less because everybody's sitting at home and nobody wants them to see their houses?
As an organization, the team I work in, we do video meetings all the time, you know. So for the last 6 months, I'm used to having my camera on and people seeing the mess behind me or whatever. But it was interesting today. I caught up. I have a regular weekly chat with someone I used to work with in a previous team. And it really is just a virtual coffee every Friday morning. And he's been super against turning on his video. Today he turned it on. So it was interesting to see that cultural change, you know, that he's now turning his video on. So that I think people are more willing to share their video than maybe they were before, regardless of whether they're in their pajamas or whether their room is a mess. So.
Yeah, listen, we know it's your boss in his pajamas. We've seen him all over Twitter posting, like, yeah, there he is in his hat and his polo and pajama pants. Thanks, Rick. Yep. Doing great work.
At least he was in his pajama bottoms, right?
there is that. I mean, there have definitely been, you know, TikToks and videos and things of people randomly walking around in the background of some video calls. And it's like, working from home is different, folks.
I have seen one, someone posted on Facebook, of somebody walking around into their bathroom on a video call and forgetting the fact that they were on video.
Yep, there's been those. Yeah, that was that big Zoom call.
Yeah, I can't remember who I saw that posted that one, but yes. Oh, the joys.
Thankfully, I've not been in any of them calls.
Yeah, the joys of working from home.
Yeah, hopefully it stays that way. I was actually hoping, you know, organizationally, I think calls are better with video. And kind of when you pull them up, like the company I work for, we do a lot of remote calls because everybody's effectively remote, but we've never done video calls. I have like one person on the team who turns on their video, but their laptop is closed. So you always see their video come on with just a black screen. And I was actually hoping that culturally, you know, that would be one of those things that changed for us along the way. And I find for a couple folks now, I can do video calls on the side, but like in our big daily scrums and things like that, we still don't seem to be getting there. But the way things are going, I probably got another couple months to try and hammer that.
Which is ironic, considering we're all sitting here with our video off.
Yeah, well, you don't want to see me this morning, like you said.
It's been a little rough.
Yeah. I actually find, interestingly, when you have massive big team meetings, I actually don't turn my video on because I think it can get quite distracting if you're sitting watching what everybody else is doing. I don't know if you guys find this, but if the presenter or the person that's speaking is, you know, on video, I like to focus on them rather than all the distracting little tales of what everybody else is doing. But maybe that's just me, that I'm too nosy at what everybody else is doing.
You know, whatever it takes to get through a meeting, sometimes you got to turn it into a little bit of a video game just to see where things are falling out.
I do that. And it's been interesting because through all of this, a lot of people are using Zoom and a lot of people are using Teams. And one question I have had several times now is, does Teams have I can't remember what it's actually called on Zoom, but essentially that grid view where you can actually pull up like 20 or 30 little thumbnails of everybody's videos and have them all be the same size, where Teams tends to focus more on that one person presenting and they show a few little thumbnails down the bottom. But even Teams, I don't think there's a way to actually see everybody's video. And maybe it's going back to what you said, that intentionality of focusing on the person presenting, not focus on the 49 other people that are drinking their coffee or clipping their fingernails or whatever else random things people do on their video while somebody else is talking.
It's in user voice. It's got like 6,000 updates, but nobody's working on it.
Well, and I wonder if that is could it be an intentional thing of let's keep the focus on the person presenting and talking and not on all those other people? It's something I hadn't thought about until you mentioned that, Sarah, but I can definitely see that as being a problem when you get on some of these big group meetings with video.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be a feature that we probably look at some point down the line, given everybody's asking about it, but I don't know how it'll change the meetings. I prefer to focus on the person talking myself, but we'll see. You know, everything changes and we adjust, so
yeah,
we'll see.
And for the time being, there's probably a lot more focus on just making sure everything keeps running than rolling out any new features.
Yeah, it's funny, for like sitting from the outside with everybody hitting Twitter, you know, normally there's this body of folks who you follow on the internet, but you really only see them once or twice a day, right? You might check Twitter in the morning or maybe you check in the afternoon or at night, whatever it is. But now being home all the time, I'm noticing that everybody else is online all the time too. And Microsoft folks in particular are pretty active on Twitter, even during the day. Mm-hmm. And they're always doing things like posting screenshots of Teams, right? Like I'm watching like Jeffrey Snow for every 10 minutes post from a meeting he's in with a different custom background. And it's like, hold on, you know, none of us have that, right? Or I'm starting to see screenshots from people like they just announced some new functionality. Like they did that big blog post, I think it was maybe early this week or late last week, where they talked about, you know, we're going to bring hand raising and a couple other different features to Teams.
Oh yeah. Like the pop out chat too was another one that was in there.
Yep. But all that stuff's in the Microsoft tenant. So all the Microsoft folks are running around like having this great blast of a time. And then I just saw like today they announced a timeline for like custom backgrounds for commercial tenants, and it's still 3 months to complete the rollout. So it's like, oh man, we gotta be jealous and sit on the outside, just watch for another 3 months.
Yeah, I know. It's fun, some of the stuff you see pop up within our Microsoft tenant, and then you can't talk about it because you don't know whether it's public or not. So it's interesting. But I'm liking Jeffrey's kind of backgrounds, like what he's doing. Some of them are quite creative and fun. So
yep, I've seen that. Have you tried the snap camera thing yet?
No, I've not. I'm really like not that kind of, do you know that way? I don't even use Snapchat, so I have no idea what it was. So I saw people do it, but I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool. I'm like an old granny when that stuff like that comes. I'll probably adopt in about 6 months' time once everybody else is like finished with it and bye.
You're just a traditionalist, right? You'd rather have people see your face unaugmented.
Yeah. I'm amazing. I don't need Snapchat.
Yeah, I don't do Snapchat. My kids play with the camera all the time. Like I have an account, but I don't do anything with it. But the kids play with, you know, this face swaps and things like that. But it's funny to see them that they actually, I had no idea. I feel like it was something I was completely out of touch with, that they had developed a program for PCs as well.
Yeah.
That let you override the camera. I was like, really? Man, they have too much time on their hands at some of these startups.
So is that what it does? I haven't played with it. I've seen people posting, is it essentially creates like a virtual camera on the PC, so you can assign that camera to the Teams meeting?
Yep. It basically like overloads your camera. So when you turn your camera on in Teams, you're actually presenting through the snap camera. So you could present as just like a regular person, or you can turn on the Snapchat filters. And then the filters, you know, they do things like augment your face in real time. Like I saw one with, you know, just to keep like the Microsoft Fellows thing going, like Rusinovich had one where he installed it and like his head was like a big old CRT monitor. But, you know, it leaves your body and everything else totally the same. So it's a little bit of a like weird different take on maybe custom backgrounds. But hey, if you're waiting for custom backgrounds and Blur isn't doing it for you, maybe snap camera is the thing. I think they said they had like hundreds of thousands of installations of it. Like clearly working from home is a winner for some companies.
Yep. Productivity is going down a bit when you install the Snapchat filter, I suppose.
Nah.
Well, whatever gets you through the day, I suppose, like you said, it's about just getting through the day and surviving everything okay at the moment.
It's all right. Yeah. We won't tell our bosses.
Outlook add-ins are a great way to improve productivity and save time in the workplace, and Sperry Software has all the add-ins you'll ever need. The Save as PDF add-in is a bestseller and is great for project backups, legal discovery, and more. This add-in saves the email and attachments as PDF files. It's easy to download, easy to install, and Sperry Software's unparalleled customer service is always ready to help.
Download a free trial at sperrysoftware.com, SperrySoftware.com, and see for yourself how great Save as PDF is. Listeners can get 20% off their order today by entering the code CLOUDIT. That's CLOUDIT, CLOUDIT, all one word at checkout. Sperry Software, work in email, not on email.
So obviously the last couple weeks have changed a whole bunch of what we do on a daily basis. What were you doing before all of this hit, Sarah? I know we had talked to you. You were on the podcast. I can't remember when we last had you on. I bet it was over a year ago now.
Yeah, I think it was last year.
I feel like the last 2 weeks have kind of derailed what everybody was doing. So there's what everybody's been doing for the last 2 weeks, then what everybody was working on before all of this. So what else have you been working on since we last had you on?
So 6 months ago, as you guys know, I changed job within Microsoft. So I'm now a cloud advocate, which saw me go away from speaking directly to customers to looking more at the community. So engaging online, engaging in-person events and stuff like that. So before all this craziness hit, I was really preparing to go and speak at Microsoft Ignite the Tour events throughout the world. So I had a few of those in the calendar. And that's where I was, kind of prepping for those and prepping for other in-person events. But obviously, that's changed. A lot of them have cancelled or postponed. Well, some of them have still changed to virtual. So I've got a couple of virtual events still in my calendar instead now. So yeah, it's been a big pivot from practicing presentations constantly to doing something differently and filling the time where not doing as many presentations and I'm having to create more content in different forms.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's been interesting because when I first started the job, I found it quite hard to still be productive when I was traveling in an airport. I was struggling to, you know, still write blog posts in a hotel room, all of that kind of fun because of the jet lag and various other different factors. And I literally just got into the habit of that. I'd learned how to do that and now I'm working at home again. So it's going to be interesting when we all go back to normal, if we ever get to normal.
Oh, it's going to hit like a brick wall. Yeah. I'm used to flying like it seemed like just about every week and it's going to feel so foreign and strange.
Yep. I wonder if I'll remember all the quick ways of getting through airport security again or not.
Oh, I'm sure that stuff comes back. It's like riding a bike, you know. Once it's ingrained into your muscle memory, your body will just go on autopilot.
Just sail right through all of that. Yeah. So what were you doing a lot of your presentations on? Obviously, you had started preparing some. You were going to do some for Ignite the Tour. And I don't know, I'm trying to think all the conferences that have been canceled now. Build is virtual now. Inspire. Yeah. They've said they're not going to do in person, but I don't think they've announced what they're going to do instead for Inspire. I think Business Application Summit, I think that was coming up. So what types of different presentations were you working on?
So some of the Ignite the Tour ones were around things like migrating from Windows Server 2008 to 2019 and some of that kind of upgrade technology. Other presentations I was working on were like cost management, which is ironically, I think what we talked about last time I came on the podcast. So stuff like that, how to leverage some of the free tools within Azure. Because what I find is a lot of customers don't realize that some of the stuff that we recommend is actually free. So it's great to leverage, even as a starter. So that was a presentation I was hoping to deliver in Norway in May, but that's been postponed, I think, till next year now. So what other things did I have? Can't remember. But yeah, I'm now trying to look at some of the virtual conferences. So Global Azure Bootcamp has went virtual, as I'm sure you'll have seen.
Yep.
How did I miss that one?
Because you don't listen when I tell you things. I've been chatting with Magnus a lot about that one.
I'm pretty sure he has not sent an email yet or written a blog post about that.
They have. They announced they canceled the physical one. They updated the blog post and announced it was going virtual.
Oh, so they updated it. See, it wasn't a new one. That was my problem.
They did. And I know in this world where we're all just vying for attention that you can't go back and read the thing you already read because it's not new anymore. I got it.
So I've submitted some sessions to present at that. So we'll see. I'm not quite sure of the logistics of how they're doing all of that. But yeah, just trying to change and hopefully deliver the content I was hoping to do in person virtually instead now, which is always a challenge. I think it's very different presenting in your own like home office or back bedroom or wherever it is you're working now versus in person with an audience in front of you. So it's another learning curve, but it's good fun. It's good fun.
For sure. So you said you were working on some around the free tools, and I can't remember if we had talked about any of those free tools in the last one, but since you didn't get to deliver that at Ignite the Tour in Norway, what are some of those free Azure tools, especially as people are maybe looking at cutting costs, saving costs, some of those free tools that they can leverage in Azure, some of that stuff you were going to cover in that presentation?
Yeah, so the big one's obviously Azure Cost Management. That is a free tool. It helps you manage your costs, it helps you set up budgets, it helps you keep on track of that, it helps you pass out responsibility from the IT team because you can delegate access to, you know, your financial team to watch them and stuff like that. If you're using AWS, you can plug into it, but there is a small charge around that. So that was one of the big ones, trying to highlight some of the cool features in there, because the team are always adding, and sometimes a bit like you missing the virtual Global Azure Bootcamp announcement, things get lost in the mist. So it's just highlighting some of the cool stuff that you can do and leverage some of that. The other big one's obviously Azure Advisor, which is kind of built into Azure Cost Management now, where it helps you with performance, helps you identify overused or underused compute, security holes, all that kind of stuff, and showing people that. One of the cool things that I actually like telling people about nowadays is the alerts that are built into Azure Advisor. So previously, you would have to constantly go into the portal and have it as a daily check almost. But now you can set up alerts. So if something new flags out, you get an email to your inbox or you can send it to your service desk. So yeah, that was two of the big tools. And there were some other wee bits and bobs about how to design, you know, a test environment with some of the free tiers or with some of the smaller tiers, if you want to call them that. And like, you know, build up an environment for, you know, the cost of a coffee cup to prove its relevance within your environment, show it off to your leadership team. That was what that presentation was kind of like.
Okay. So
5 minutes condensed version of it.
It'd be great if you could get the advisor team to make it show recommendations in 5 minutes, but that'll never happen. It turns out that like advisor is one of the hardest things to demo because you have to have workloads that are running for a while. So for like lots of us, like if I'm working with customers and trying to show that off, I need to remember to set up my demos days ahead of time and leave them running and kind of let it churn down.
Yeah.
I always wished and hoped that some of those things like advisor, security center, log analytics, you know, like always had that great demo portal where I can just go in and I can fire off a query and the data's all sitting there in Kusto and it's pre-staged for me. Mm-hmm. I always wanted those same things for Advisor and Security Center because they're turnkey solutions, but they're hard to demo sometimes, especially off the cuff, right? If you're just walking in with somebody and saying, hey, let me show you this, you have to have the environment ready to go.
Yep. Which is probably why a lot of our team record a lot of our demos. And then that way you can just pull up that video of something happening and demo it that way. I know lots of people, that's probably a podcast in itself, whether you video your demos or not. But I know I've kind of got a repository of video demos if I need to do that for some of those situations as well.
Yeah, I think more and more of us are starting to go that way. I know Ben does a conference with Mark Jones, the GlobalCon, and all the speakers for that, they record all their sessions. So when you sit down for your slot, you know, watch Ben's session on Azure automation, it's something that he's already recorded. And, you know, Mark and his team on their end from the production side, they're just playing that video back. So Ben can focus on the chat and answering questions and things like that. It's certainly a different model for kind of the remote delivery.
Yeah. So I've been a fan of that, especially as we're seeing more and more of these virtual conferences. Is a lot of times when you're doing a virtual conference, you can't do something like a Teams meeting or like you do in person where people have that ability to verbally ask you a question or raise their hand or you have that discussion. And the way that Mark Jones has done those and recording them ahead of time, it really is nice because I can sit there, I can let the video play, but then I can have a dialogue with all the attendees while the video is playing. So because I can't really stop and take questions and stuff, we just have a whole conversation while they're watching the video. I can answer questions. I can throw links out there in the chat. It makes it nice from a presenter standpoint because it gives me a chance to interact a lot more with the attendees than if we were trying to do it virtually live. And from a host of the conference, Mark loves it because he's not stressing out about are people's internet connections going to die? Are people going to have problems actually going live? It's let's upload all these videos to whatever platform we're going to stream it from. And as long as that platform stays up, we just play video after video after video.
Yeah. I did a Teams live event a few weeks ago for a user group I should have been in person for and ended up doing it remotely through Microsoft Teams Live. And it was quite an interesting challenge because usually if you're switching between like a PowerPoint and then jumping into the portal, you can do that quite easily on stage at an event because usually, you know, if you've got like a lot of the Microsoft ones, you just press a button and it switches to another PC and, you know, display changes dead seamlessly and no one notices. But I noticed when I was doing it home, I had to like end my PowerPoint. I had to then share a different screen, wait for all that to come up and then do the opposite, you know, unshare that screen, relaunch PowerPoint, reshare that. So there was that element of it wasn't, I want to say professional or smooth, but, you know, it was a wee bit panicky and stressful for me trying to do that as a presenter remotely. So it would have been great, like when you do a video recording, you can do all of that and then in the post editing you can cut out those wee transitions and just make it seamless for the audience and it's less stressful as a presenter. So there's definitely ways to do it, but sometimes you have to do it live, right? Because it's much better experience in terms of, you know, you can stop your presentation and just, you know, show them something else or show a different demo or whatever, which you can't do if you've pre-recorded it, or you can, but it's...
Yeah, I agree. I actually did my first live broadcast yesterday using Teams and it's a different experience. Mm-hmm. I've found that I prefer just a regular Teams meeting in terms of being able to share content, present and switch. All of that is a lot easier, or I thought was a lot easier for me in a Teams meeting than the live broadcast. Obviously, sometimes you need to do the live broadcast just because of the quantity of people you want to invite. Mm-hmm. But I agree, there was a lot to think about, to keep track of, and to just a lot more you have on your mind when you're doing that live broadcast than when you're doing in person, or for me, even when you're just doing a normal Teams meeting.
Yep. It's again, there's multiple ways of doing something. It's just finding what works for you and what works for your audience, I guess. That's probably where we're all trying to figure out at the
exactly.
moment.
I think that about brings us to our time already. Anything you're doing to help yourself from going crazy while you're stuck in your house that you want to share or impart your tips and tricks for not going crazy to everybody before we end it today?
I've actually turned off notifications for a lot of my social media on my phone. I do spend a lot of time still on Twitter on my PC, but I've turned off the notifications on my phone, which I think is actually helping a bit because I'm not being constantly drawn to that social media platform and getting sucked into some of the craziness that's happening. I'm choosing when to do that. It means I'm a bit slower in terms of seeing somebody's post or whatever or responding to somebody, but it's making me more sane because I'm not constantly on Twitter or Facebook every time it pings, if that makes sense. I'm finding that's helping, to be honest.
No, that makes a lot of sense because there's a lot of news, there's a lot of just, I feel like, and I might have to go do it on my phone too now, is always breaking news this, breaking news that, breaking news that. Does it really matter if you see it within 10 minutes or if you see it, like you said, 3 or 4 hours later on your time when you choose to go look at what the latest news is?
Yeah, I think as long as you're being safe, staying at home, washing your hands, you know, doing all those kind of things, any breaking news is probably not going to be totally impactful, if that's really the right way of saying
absolutely.
That. Does that make sense?
So, I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. It was fun to have you on again. Try not to go crazy at home.
Me too.
Like you said, stay safe, wash your hands.
Used to.
And, awesome. Yep. Thanks a lot, Sarah. And we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.